In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3 hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
They had a big indictment against a Hazard gang out there in East L.A. where they firebombed a black family that was living in the projects in a predominantly Latino area where Big Hazard was at. Them feds indicted them, and they all were found guilty. They all convicted for a hate crime.
Yeah.
See, here's my question. If a Mexican shoots a black in some gang conflict, if the feds want to, they could charge them with a hate crime, even though it's not about racial hate. It's about, this is, I want this block. I want to make the money on this block. But the feds in Washington, D.C. are looking at what's going on in L.A. and are slapping hate crimes on some of the Mexican gangs.
Well, see, they going after giving more time instead of slapping them on the wrist.
But they guess how many times a black gang has been charged with a hate crime from Washington, D.C.?
I don't know.
In L.A. County. It's never happened.
Never.
It's never happened. But you had the Avenues, the hate crime. Big Hazard, hate crime. 204th Street down in Hawthorne. Well, you know, a lot of people, I'm Torrance, a lot of people tell me the 204th Street neighborhood, they were racist over there in Torrance, Del Amo area.
Yeah.
I've actually had a lot of people tell me, nah, these Mexicans are a different kind of Mexican.
Yeah.
These Mexicans were pushing a race line against the blacks that lived in that area. And there was no black gang over there.
Yeah, they all pushing it to me.
Well,
they
was like that over there on Manchester. But Manchester Park, the F-13s, they was just shooting blacks on sight.
Well, they're shooting these. They trying to shoot these Coast Crips.
Well, they don't like them for sure.
Yeah,
over some drug deal went bad.
Yeah,
they got them for whoop a lot of shit and I mean, but what you expect?
But that's a good example because the East Coast Crips are getting shot up by the F-13s over
a drug deal.
They took some dope. They basically stole a truckload of dope from the F-13s. I think this was either 99 or 2000.
99.
And the F-13s have been hating the East Coast Crips
ever since. Now, they used to get along.
Of course. They all went to elementary, junior high. But here's the thing. The Swans also share a little bit of area that F-13 has, and I don't think the Swans and the F-13s have no problems.
So they don't like blue. They don't like them dudes.
I think it's they don't like East Coast Crips.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They don't.
There's
like
other
East
Crips
Coast.
That they don't.
No, they don't. They don't like 7'6".
That's East Coast.
Yeah, they don't like them.
8'9", 7'6", the 6-pack, 11'8", 190, all them East Coasters.
Yeah, they don't like them. And they take that beef to the penitentiary. if you look it up, that beef goes straight to the penitentiary. They don't like East Coast Crips.
Well, the dude from the Mexican Mafia is the one that got that hit going.
Yeah.
Castellano from F-13. He's been locked up ever since 1980 or 81.
Yeah.
And he's the shot caller for F-13.
If any of them mess with a black or whatever, deal with one, they get killed.
And, now, they see you talking in there. They green light you to do something to them.
Now, if there's any rich philanthropist out there that wants to do some good in Los Angeles community and help bring two neighborhoods together, pay the debt that the East Coast Crips owe to the F-13s, and you will save a lot of lives. That's real talk right
That's
there.
That's true.
The East Coast Crips ain't never going to pay that debt.
You ain't going to never stop that.
No, if I call up Mr. Castellano, who's serving life in the penitentiary, and say, look, what can I do to get y'all to stop shooting the East Coasters? What's he going to say? Pay us what they owe us. And if there's a philanthropist out there that wants to pay the hundreds of thousands, if not a million, I don't know how much money the dope is worth, but if somebody out there wants to do some good, because that is the largest black-brown conflict in Los Angeles now.
Well, you got a lot of bloodshed in that, too.
And the East Coasters are huge, you know?
There's a lot of bloodshed in that.
Well, if it's only hundreds of thousands of dollars, they pay those advocates that.
$100,000?
No, I think the dope, I don't know how much dope was in that truck. I'm saying, like, let's say it was 30 birds, you know? 50 birds. 100 birds.
Yeah.
That's still not a million, is it? Is 100 birds $1 million?
You know, I think those
figure at 30,000. 30,000 a
bird. Let's just say it was 100 birds.
So that's what?
How much?
$3 million?
How much would 100 birds cost? How much
30,000
per bird, Reggie?
30,000.
All right, I'm going to do the math right now. So let's just say it's 100 birds.
Well, back then it might have been a little more. Right?
And
35, 40, 37.
Ooh, that's $3 million right there. Yeah. That's $3 million if it was 100 birds.
Yeah.
What do you think? Was about how much you think was in that van that they took?
I don't know. I know they got them good. But what I'm saying, this is the thing.
And then you got to remember all the lives that have been lost. That's what, like I told y'all, that's what happened with the truth.
But on both sides, lives
that's
have been
lost. But that's what happened with the truths. Well, that's why it didn't work. Because they started realizing, hey, I'm over here partying with James. And James is the one that killed my brother.
Yeah.
And the alcohol got in no brothers, and they start realizing, that's James? That's the one that killed little Juan, little John? Man, truth's over.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, everyone's got losses on both sides.
But, but the Mexicans look at it like this. They're so organized, man. They probably said, it's the principle now. It's not about the money no more. It's the principle. It's how y'all did that. How we had a connect, and this is how y'all got down. Basically saying, fuck us. This is how either side would think, if that side got got.
Yeah, but if you're thinking intelligently, whether you're on the F-13 side or the East Coast Crip side, you want to reduce the amount of murders because it's getting in the way of making money, whatever way you're making money.
It's not in... The war can go on in the city of L.A. That shit is going out of town. Whatever they doing and how they make their money goes elsewhere. That little crumb shit they doing on the corners, that's they doing. That's personal shit. But you're not going to come in here and do me the way you did me, take our shit, and then clown about it. The war is on. The war is on. Mm-hmm. And that's any side.
I mean, all wars could end, man. All wars could end. I mean, look.
Could.
America dropped two bombs on Japan, killed 200,000 people, and you telling me that we can't get the F-13s and the East Coast Crips together maybe 20 murders, maybe 30 murders?
Totally different.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I would if this was
the
19...
The people that made the decision to end the war ain't know none of those kids that died. But, not a one.
But how does a country like Japan...
We started a war with... Bush Jr. started a war with Iraq just because that man made a threat to his daddy, and that's why that second war, Iraq war started, and he wasn't gonna stop. He lied. He had Colonel Powell.
Yeah.
Go and lie.
He did have Powell lie.
To lie to present that case so he can start that war. And I'm just saying, when you have personal feelings involved. Versus,
hey, you got to put the past in the past and move forward. I mean,
we look at it like that, and then it's easier to do it individually But as a gang, as a structure, I got life in prison. This is where I'm gonna be for the rest of my life. This is what's gonna take care of me for the rest of my life. This is what's gonna keep me alive for the rest of my life. All these things you think about being in prison. So why would I sit here and make my people think I'm weak by saying, okay, fuck that war, let it go, ceasefire is over and done. When we ain't sat down in the Crips, the people that they had, they don't got no more. So you're not going to get one of these little young
cats. And they tried, Lonzo. They tried.
And go in here and don't know what the fuck he's talking about and start some shit.
No one's worked on this F-13 East Coast Crip conflict.
I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about doing the truths and doing that. That was, they really tried. Those Bloods and Crips was out there hanging, partying.
Well, that's the Bloods and the Crips, not the Messengers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying they tried to stop the thing. I'm just saying how personal feelings.
I mean, a lot
involved.
Of wars have ended in L.A. For example, the Venice Show Line Crips and the V-13s, they 17 murders in a 2-year period. That beef is over.
But something smaller than this, it wasn't a principle.
But there was 17 murders in 18 months. That's a lot of murders.
That's a lot of murders.
And how long has the war been over?
It's been over since 94. It lasted from 93 to 94. 17 homicides. Venice Show Lines was fighting.
Somebody sharing something. It's a major connect over there. That's where they all eating.
Well, I'm just saying that it's possible.
What's a good thing that it happened? Anything is possible.
The Rolling 40s Crips and the Rolling 30s Crips had a 10-year war from 96 to 2006. Yeah. That's over. You know?
It ain't never over.
Totally different situation, man. I'm telling you.
I know every conflict is different.
When you get in the head of
this would be the hardest conflict to resolve,
yeah,
though.
That's going to be one.
This is the biggest one.
That's maybe
one.
Not. Maybe if the head boss of the mafias die in prison and they get some new leaders in there that say they want to squash this and work different, then you got a chance. But not right now. Because they living on principle, man, and that's how they stay strong.
I mean, it's all about money. It's all about money. Their money.
But you can't look.
It's hard for a dude in prison to really put a lot of value on money, too, though.
No, these dudes actually have bank accounts.
They got the value.
I mean, they want to take care of their people, but it's to put value on money.
These guys will make more money if this conflict is over. This conflict will create more economic opportunities for both sides, whether you're serving dope or trying to be a rapper. Well, it's a win-win for everyone.
Okay, but let me tell you what the Mexicans did. They went and took, dealing with those cats, they start putting their nieces and sisters into
police academies.
not only police academy, but they selling houses and shit. Yeah. They nurses. They doing all of that now. Yeah. So they investing their money in a good way. They got businesses. They investing their money. The money ain't just stacking up. So they don't need us to get rid of that shit no more. They got different connect. They went all the way around.
And that was one of the smartest things they ever did.
Exactly. They went all the way around the circle.
When they say, okay, Alonzo, you and your son, y'all going to be good people. Y'all not going to get in any trouble. We're going to make sure y'all okay. Y'all going to be policemen now. Y'all going to go, and y'all going to be bringing these drugs into the L.A. County Jail for us and to the prison system.
And they
taking care of them.
They taking
That's
care
That's what's
of
going on now.
You see a lot of people.
Your sister going to be a cop. She's going to be, and this is what's going on now.
You got a lot of them nurses. Real estate.
They were smart.
How you think they buying and selling them houses like that?
It took them a while to get politically connected, but they starting.
They smart, man.
They starting.
So that's how they was able to go around it. Fuck, we don't need y'all for shit. We don't need this here. But we'll never forget this. I'm telling you, man, and everything they did has worked ever since. Because back then, if you can remember, you didn't see them letting they mamas push them carts for the cans and shit. They would get robbed. Back in the 70s, early 80s, they was getting robbed. You didn't see pops walking to the store. They able to move freely now because they ain't dealing with the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's totally different. The robberies on all that shit is totally, all that shit done went down.
All right.
It's done changed.
Well, if there's any philanthropist out there that wants to do some good, hit me up, because I have a passion with bringing neighborhoods together. And it would be amazing if there was a way we could end this conflict between the East Coast Crips and the Florencia Trece gang. But I do know this, it's going to take money. But all right, let's move on to the to our next topic. This also comes from another person online. This was a really interesting question. How do gang members deal with having relationships with people from rival gangs? And let me say, like, for example, a blood might be dating a Crip, or two cousins might be from opposite sides. They might be from rival neighborhoods, or a girl from that's a blood. Her father's a Crip. You know, there's all these bizarre types of relationships where people are from the opposite side. James, I know you got some firsthand experience with this. Give us an example of this.
All my baby mamas are Crips. South Side, one from Hoover. One out here in the IE, but going my first son mother, I was with her 75 to 79. We had a child. Going over her house, she lived in 118th in San Pedro, and going over there to her house, you know, it was Crips on that.
Was
block.
That East Coast Crip?
Yeah,
118 East Coast.
Yeah, going on that. I mean, I'm on that block now. Back then, I'm catching a bus. White tennis shoes, red shoestrings, walking up the block of blood. And
in the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
by her being cool with them, some of them cats like, okay, woo. You know what I'm saying? Then when I got my car, riding over there, spending the night, kicking it with her, doing my thing.
So basically, you're talking about getting a pass.
Exactly.
That's explain to the people listening what a pass is.
Well, getting a pass is, so I'm cool. I got a pass because I was cool with John. Me and John is together. John is cool with those cats in the neighborhood. But she was from Hoover. You know what I'm saying? So they was all good. Like, my sister's boyfriends were Crips. And they used to come to the hood, and I'd tell the homies, that's my sister's boyfriend, leave these cats alone. You couldn't touch them. Cowboy, Marcus, and all of those cats from 9-8 Mafia. These was my dogs, still right now today. You know what I'm saying? Y'all couldn't mess with them. So, man, just going over and dealing, and me and my homeboy, Master Ron, we used to go over here on Link Street in Maine, and all of the Hoovers was over there. But all my baby mama would kick it over there. So I interact with the Hoovers. I interact with the East Coast. Never trip. The Hoovers never trip. Some of them guys are my dogs. Like right now today, my boy Doug. Shout out to Doug. He from 5-9. He from Hoover. I got a lot of people I fuck with is through my baby mamas. You know what I'm saying? All of them through my baby mama. And it worked that way.
How many baby mamas you got?
I got three.
Okay.
And what happened is you meet some of these guys, and then you been to Las Madrinas with them. Y'all come cool. Y'all form a bond. Get out. We still cool. You go to prison. Get out. You cool. My cousins are Crips. So I go to their hood. You got a pass because of your cousins. Shit like that. So it's everybody know everybody.
Now, I want to ask Reggie, do you ever use these people that can bounce back and forth between hoods as CIs to get information or gang intelligence when you was an officer?
No. I never got in the law enforcement that deep where that was my father and Brennan and Ladd and all of them that were they got the CIs and stuff like that. Pretty much all of my stuff was done spontaneous on the street. But I was fortunate. I was young. I was a young officer when I was a cop, and I was a lot thinner and was making money and all of that stuff. And so I was really messing with all of these niggas' girlfriends or sisters.
You was actually dating.
I was fucking.
So you was dating.
I was single. Wait. And I was fucking everybody.
You were dating women that were dating gang members also.
Or had stopped or didn't want to, because that's the problem with the girls. They generally didn't want to be dating too many of the guys.
Well, what do you think the appeal is for some girls to date gang members that aren't in a gang?
That aren't in a gang. Well, yeah. Some of them, well, generally they didn't like to because they became that term hood rat. People don't know what a hood rat really means. A hood rat is really a chick that dating a dude that's from their hood.
Well, she got to date at least a couple. You know,
yeah.
If you just got one dude, you ain't a hood rat.
Once they dated that one, everybody didn't want to mess with them no more. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want, or that dude always, like, nobody wanted to mess with James Grohl. Because James messed with her.
Well, they couldn't fuck with James' girl because they knew about James' girl.
Okay. And that's my point about that. So that's why the girls usually had a problem with that. But, I mean, we took it to about females and stuff like that. But I know the question was really about this dude that was cool with it. And to be honest, what taught us to be cool, not us. I keep saying us. I don't know why I keep using the word us. But what my experience was what taught Blood and
Crip. You a gang member, Reggie.
No, I wasn't.
That's Blood, what you mean by that. No, he's a gangster.
I wasn't.
Well, you want a gangster
no,
chronicle,
not.
Though.
I'm like, quick. No, I'm not. But what generally was y'all done made me forget my train of thought talking like
now
that.
I want to hear about you dating girls that dated gang members.
Oh, I mean, I done dated a girl in every hood.
Well, see, he got a pass because he was a police officer.
I used to go over their house. I used to sleep over there late at night. I had no problems with that. But my point was, I married my wife, her brother, Tony Guillory, from neighborhood Compton Crips. My wife, That's my wife's brother. Me and him was cool to this day. I remember that nigga was coming to jail every day when I was in the jail. But I was, you know, like I said, was young into the law enforcement.
If you didn't retire early, the feds would be watching your every step because they'd be saying, man, this guy's got a lot of close friends back then. Gang life.
I was fraternization, and God forbid, when I started working for Death Row, if that El Rey Club incident wouldn't happen, I probably would have still been there. But that's when my chief pulled me in after that El Rey Club incident. It was like, your ass better get out of here or I'm going to fire your ass. But, you know, because we left the scene when that incident happened, so I had to go ahead and limp my way out of there. But my point was the drug game. The drug game is what got Bloods and Crips to be able to deal with each other. Because usually the Crips, to be honest.
Before the 80s.
Well, y'all going back to the 80s. I'm talking about the 90s and stuff like that.
This was going on before cocaine or anything came in this motherfucker. Going to Bloods.
Well, getting passes, because you're talking about 1975.
Well, that's the women that going across, but they wasn't game. But it wasn't as many hoods, and niggas didn't have as many beats as they did.
You could still get
then.
Your ass beat in 1975, though.
You get beat and all that, but it wasn't that many.
You might
many,
not get killed, but you can get a whipping.
It wasn't as tough as it became in the 90s, and niggas coming around with 80 AKs and stuff, because the game is what brought these niggas guns and was able to get the AKs and riding around and getting mobile and all of that. Because you got to remember, the game was young. How James, you talking about riding bicycles and all of that. Mm-hmm. You didn't do that late at night. But niggas grew up in the gangs and they got older and older. That's why we don't know. People be like, how you 50-year-old and still claiming? We don't know because we ain't got that many 50, 60-year-old gang members. We don't have them because they all grown up, you know, growing up with this. Mm-hmm. And so we don't know when it's going to stop. When do you grow up? You know, as some would say, when people say, when would you stop claiming? You know, James 54 now, and he still will tell you, I'm from, or he's still known as Mob J, or from the Mob, but he will tell you, I'm not one. You know, I'm not a gang member, but every boy has, we were just looking at a grave site, where, you know, for my boy Pierre, that funeral, where all of those niggas we went to school with, 52, 53, 54, all of them wearing burgundy. Still would holler Mob or Power Rule the Blood. They had an incident over there after the funeral, you know, because, well, I think it's because of alcohol. But I'm just saying, but they all still claiming, and these are 53, 54-year-old grown.
Well, they're not claiming it as a gang banging. They're claiming it as a neighborhood pride.
Gang banging, man. You have to be an active gang member, you have to be out there killing what the title holds. You got to be killing the opposite.
Yeah, these people aren't putting in work that you're talking about, Reggie. They just...
They go to a club and something happens, they're gonna side
they
with
might
the
fight,
red.
Right?
Yeah, they're going to side with that. Or who fights these days?
In a club, you can definitely have a fight.
But don't go outside the club.
Yeah.
Don't go outside.
Don't go in that parking lot.
Don't go in that parking lot. That's where the shit go down.
But I want to know, James, did all of these... Did you always get a pass, or did you have some close calls where...
Like I said, like when I went to...
Let's talk about age. Put an age on it. Because when you're talking about the 80s and the 70s...
That's when you was dating and all of these cats are dating. Now, can I go to my baby mama house right now today, and she live in the Crip neighborhood? Yeah, I can.
Oh, you said today.
My son. Can I go to my son's house and he in the Crip neighborhood? My cousin's 98th and Figueroa.
That's Denver Lane?
No, those are
And you're going to have red shoe strings and...
Oh, yeah, that's kind of borderline Hoover.
It's Hoover's.
Hoover's over there.
But I bet you ain't going to have red shoe strings on and white tennis shoes on.
I call my cousin them right now. All of those cats respected us. And they'll tell you, from Killer Wayne and everybody that I took over there, that they number love.
Yeah, let one of the little 19, 20-year-olds see your ass.
Okay, and then if they do that, then they got a problem.
That's my point. That's my point. When does it stop? You still game banging then?
No, I'm not game banging. Yeah. I'm defending myself.
No, I think this question is really important because a lot of gang conflict actually starts over a girl.
Yeah.
Oh. A lot of like 20-year, 30-year wars was over dating a girl.
Because you dealing with a girl that's fucking with somebody in the hood, and then she dating you, but then when you come through, somebody letting it be known that you coming through. You know what I'm saying? So you got two cats, and that don't have to be a Blood in the Crip. That can be two Crips getting into it over the same chick. You know what I'm saying? But understand me, it grew from back in the days, this is how it used to be. Every motherfucking Crip you knew had a damn near had a blood female. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because they didn't want to date and then with their that, brother's friend.
And then with that, you grow a bond with the brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because all the Crips that dealt with my sisters are cool with me.
Yeah.
I got a good relationship with them. You know what I'm saying?
But why didn't you ever let none of your sisters really date any Bloods? Because they didn't want to.
I knew what type of niggas my friends was. Yeah. So you're not going to do nothing with my sister. That's the reason right there. Have a baby, and then I had the kid.
Yeah, yeah. That's
the
reason.
So they already knew. But that's why it always went outside the hood.
Yeah.
Me personally, I never dated nobody in my hood because all my friends are out there. My female chicks
and
out there.
And that's why I had a ball.
Were there a lot of females from my Pyru?
Yeah,
there
was a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
And cats that used to bring them through, the chicks that nobody know, some of them used to get touched. Some of them used to get touched. Now, mind you, my daughter mama moved in the hood, Pam, from Southside. Nobody fucked with Pam. None of the homegirls. And they knew she was from Southside.
Well, I know of an incident, though, when Nikki and them went over there to Southside. And
they went to Southside?
They went to Southside. And
they got the ass whooped there.
Yeah, they went over there. Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah, but so they had incidents. They have incidents among each other now.
What I'm saying is, I'm just from what this say here, man, it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it's very
common.
Right
now in the day,
it still happens
because some guys got that cool relationship with this dude.
It was mainly because they didn't want to date their brother friends.
Now, can I just meet a chick today and she tell me Baby Gangsta's her brother and come to our house, I want you to have dinner with us? Hell no. I see you somewhere else. That's what a smart nigga do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you still have that going on right now today. And a lot of people, a lot of bonds have grown because you have Bloods messing with female Crips. Crips messing with female Bloods.
I think you and Baby Gangsta could sit down and have a meal. Today,
Baby Gangster's cool.
Yeah,
now,
yeah. Now,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah. So there wouldn't be no problem.
Baby Gangster's
hypothetically,
a grown ass man, and he feel the same
but
way
not,
I feel.
Probably not 20 years ago.
I ain't with that. Bullshit.
Oh yeah, 20 years ago, that that's absolutely.
We wouldn't be chilling.
Yeah.
And if I sit down and talk to Gangster, I tell Gangster one story, and he'll remember it like it was yesterday. The beef that we had, it was a straight okay corral incident, and I bet you he'll say. That was you. I'm the same motherfucking. And I bet you he'll remember it. I don't have no problems with that dude.
Did you have any girlfriends that were ever from Inhood, Santana, or Atlantic?
Every female I've
ever
dealt with.
Yeah, Southside. Your baby mama's from Southside.
Oh, yeah, your baby mama's from Southside.
Yeah. I've talked to other females, different females from different hoods, but never... Come on to the pad.
Now, where are your two other baby mamas from?
One is Southside. My oldest son, Mama Jean, is from Hoover, 107. And my other son, my baby boy, Mama is...
Shit, now I'm thinking about it. I don't never remember you messing with anybody from Luther's Mob area.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
That's my point. They don't mess with...
But see, this is my thing with
I
that
don't
was,
know too many niggas that marry somebody that
no,
mess with somebody from
was,
the
well,
neighborhood.
Well, Alton and all of them dealt with
well, they
females
dealt with
in the hood.
Brenda.
But see,
Brenda.
I was different. My whole thing is...
Bunchy moved a girl in from... Spanky old woman. You remember that?
Yeah.
From the crib.
Yeah, Chantel.
From
set them off.
Yeah.
My whole thing was I was different from everybody. I don't want a chick in the hood.
Yeah.
If I deal with a chick in the hood, I don't bring nothing from the outside to my house because I already know how it's going to be. So I didn't mix my business with what pleasure, should I say. So I never dealt with a female from the mob. Yeah. All my business was outside of that. When I left the hood and did my baby mama's or that chick, I did that and left it there. When my baby mama wanted to come to the hood, she kicked it with Sylvia Nunn, them, Cynthia Nunn, all of them. She was cool with all of them.
Now, your first baby mama was from Southside.
From Hoover.
Okay, from Hoover. But the one that was from Southside, was she living in Southside when you was dating her?
She lived on California Street right now still, yeah.
And how would you move differently when you would go visit her? Or how often would you visit her in Southside?
I've been over there in my Cadillac. I've been over there. I had a 77 Cadillac white rims, the whole thing. I had a... a blue station wagon. I had a Burgundy Maximum. They never said shit to me. They never said
but
shit
this
to me.
Before the war really
and then
went
here,
off.
Keefe D and Paula was living right across the street on California. So I never had a beef with none of them. Paula and Pam was like this, best friends. Best friends. So I never had a problem going over there.
Cause you
I was always
people.
Ready.
Please put a timeline on the dates and stuff. Because
put a timeline
you
on.
Know, like what year this was.
Well, I ain't good with
well, I mean,
dates.
You know, you gotta tell people
this is your second baby mama from Southside, right?
Yeah.
What years did you start dating her?
I started dating Pam in 92.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is before all the baby Lane and all of that stuff went down.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential. The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
But when you was dating your first baby mama,
that was in the 70s.
She was from Hoover.
Yeah.
But she was living on 118th and San Pedro.
In the East Coast.
In the East Coast hood.
Yeah.
And would you have to be extra careful going over there?
To the Hoovers?
Yeah.
I never really dealt with the Hoovers hood. On Lee Street, I ran into the Hoovers, and then on 98th and Figueroa, over my cousin Tony and Tracy, she was a Hoover, 107. And even hanging with the Hoovers, Marcus and Calvin and Chris, which is Calbo, Archie is from, live over there by Nene.
Yeah, I remember Archie. Nice guy.
Okay,
yeah.
Archie's still over there. Yeah. We're hanging with them. We even, and my dogs, rest in peace, Moon from Raymond Avenue Crips. And Moon and Tracy was my ride or dies back in the day. We were stealing cars and doing crazy shit, meeting up on 98th and Figueroa.
I can tell you in the mid-80s, one of the biggest dope dealers from Watts lived in our hood. Literally lived right across the street from my grandmother, which lived next door to James and them.
Greg,
which
was, yeah, mean,
the boy with the gate and all that.
Jericho, yeah.
Biggest, I mean, Great Street Watts ran all the dope in there.
Great Street, yeah.
It's from Great Street. And so it happened, you know, where it happens, where, you know, you
well,
be cool and don't be disrespectful.
And shit start coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't, because MC8, if you ever see him again and talk to him, he moved in the hood.
Yeah.
But when he moved in the hood, it was said that MCA moving in the hood and he cripping and woo-woo-woo. Okay. As soon as he moved in, robbed this nigga. Bringing his shit and bam. He had a tow truck. If he be honest with the shit, he had a U-Haul come in. He had a U-Haul go out. He didn't stay.
Oh, he didn't stay long at all.
Man, he wouldn't have made it.
So he tried to move into Ma Pai Ru neighborhood?
Yeah.
What would make him want to do that?
Section 8. The girls usually get things, and you try to go, and your mama will tell you, too, nigga, this is where we going. This is where we moving at. I don't understand this gang stuff and all of that. It'd be a lot of that.
Now, did you, James,
Section 8 main reason.
Receive any backlash from your homies when they found out you was dating Pam from Southside? Did they say, why are you doing that, man?
Every last one of them cats loved her. I gave a party Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's what we're talking about.
Every last one of the homies embraced Pam as one of theirs. They respected me, cool. They gave her respect because when the females, or one female in particular, got at Pam on some whoop-de-whoop shit.
A Ma Pai Ru female.
Yeah, Pam got in that ass, mopped that ass up on the car. And ain't none of them ever, I ain't fucking with her. And they left Pam alone. Pam got her respect. Pam did Pam. So it was good like that. Her people, Hawk, and, you know, from Southside come through. This your people, this my people. And I respected them just like that.
So you actually had some Southside Crips come to your house during events or parties?
Yeah, Hawk. This was her play brother, whomever she wanted him to be. Or whatever, but I embraced him like, you know, as if, okay, that's who he is, that's who he is. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
But, you know, they wasn't coming over there wearing blues.
No, they wouldn't go disrespect. But they was, you I know. Mean, you know, I let everybody know. Just whoop the whoop.
And he's from? And,
from Southside. Yeah. Nobody fuck with him. Oh, no, he good, let's drink, whoop whoop. Like when I went to the Hoovers and I'm sitting here kicking it with my homies from the Hoovers. And we sitting there, they playing dominoes. This the homeboy, whoop the whoop from the Ma Pai Rus, and this is what's going down, whoop whoop. And I was cool. I sat there and played dominoes.
And niggas will get crazy every now and then, and you have some problems, and usually you have some gunplay or something like that, and it'll go for a minute.
It's still kind of risky, though, don't you think? Because you never know. Even though these Hoovers are cool with you, or these Southsides are cool with you, there's always another person that presents themselves.
And that's
a person you don't know. You never seen him before.
And that's why you never underestimate anybody.
Yeah.
You're still ready. I'm always packed. And that's why you still be ready. If you feel uncomfortable on your surroundings, then you get up and bounce. That don't make you no punk. You get up and bounce. You already know you ain't supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Now I got to take the word of this guy. He got to have some type of credibility with the rest of these cats not to fuck with this dude. So if he got that reputation, and they already know not to fuck with me because the backlash is right here. He going to take care of these cats because y'all made me look like a whoop-whoop, and now my nigga get banked on my watch. Now I got an answer to whoop the whoop and his people.
Now, have you ever known the gang member that isolated him or herself so much to where they would say, nah, I'm not going over there, even though I got a sister. Nope, I ain't going over there.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Because, I mean, you got some that just really don't care. You got some that's, okay, I'm going to trust you. And you got some that just really know and really don't give a fuck. Nigga, I'm finna bounce to show you. I ain't on no bitch shit. I'm finna roll with you because, nigga, I ain't scared. Let's roll. Some motherfuckers ain't built like that. So they decline. Ooh, we moving on.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up the show, you guys have an announcement to make. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Reggie.
Yeah. So we got my boy Nick, Nick Nunn, over from the Australia. So you people over there in Australia, Mob James is going to be coming. James McDonald, I apologize, James, is going to be coming over to Australia this summer. And him and Greg Cadings, they're going to call it the show called The Night with Greg Cadings. And we're going to have our boy Nick come and promote it and tell y'all how y'all can register and sign up and come and hear Mob and hear James talk and tell all these stories and
You should have let me do that intro, dog, because you just keep you mobbing like a mug.
Nick, right. Tell
not
him
that
to
you
do.
Doing that.
Tell him, Mom. Tell him.
He done talked enough for the show.
He did take over a bit today, huh?
He always take over.
I got to, because, see, hey, I got a beef with Reg every time, because he turns his back on me all the time. Every time I say something wrong or whatever, it's either like this or he turns his back. I'm like, why you keep turning your back on me? If I said something wrong, just tell me.
Yeah, ain't that wrong.
What it is. I said something wrong.
Okay, so Nick, you're from Australia, huh?
Yeah, from Australia. Massive Death Row Records fan, and got a lot of love for Reggie and how'd James you hook up and
what they do. How'd you hook up with these fellas?
Well, I mean, I've always loved Reggie. You know what I mean? He's a straight up cat. I'm a big fan of his. Always held it down with him, and always will. Mob James, I reached out to last year after the Vlad TV stuff went off, and massive big fan of Mob James. Mob James and I met last week for the first time,
face to face.
And we kicked it for 4 hours. We shed tears.
He cried like 5 times just sitting
crazy.
At the table getting drunk.
That's
as a motherfucker.
Alcohol.
No, I was thinking
we all drinking Jack Daniels?
No, we were drinking margaritas.
Let me say this.
Margaritas?
Yeah, but they were drinking. I didn't drink. I was drinking water. No, yeah, yeah. Let me say this. My history, my life, just growing up or whatever, we touched on some of that growing up with my pops and all of this. And they never been in my shoes like that. Never had a father that, you know. And then just listening to my story, it kind of got touchy. So one thing about them is that I appreciated these guys for calling me. You know what I'm saying? Vlad, you know, just reaching out to me and saying, okay, you got a story, I want to hear it. And then them wanting me to be a part of their project to say, you could bring a lot to the story that we're trying to tell. So I welcome all of that. You know what I'm saying? And it was important for me to tell my story and to have people like this listen. That's why I wouldn't say nothing for a long time. I wouldn't even speak on the death row and my brother or anything, because I felt that I don't want to have to sock a motherfucker for telling me they don't want to hear that shit.
Correct.
That shit is old. So just them talking to me and listening, and then the feedback I got from my conversations with them was just like great. And I've been talking to him ever since. I met him the other day, had a ball. We sitting here at the Sierra Golf Club, and when I walked in, I gave him these Death Row shirts.
Put
these shirts, and he just took his shirt off and put on this Death Row shirt, and these white people looking like, what the hell is this here? So when I walked in, I felt out of place. And then when he changed his shirt, I felt like, whoa! Then they think we gangbangers and shit now. But I'm gonna let Nick say what's going on so we can get out of here.
So you have an event that's related to former LAPD officer Greg Kading.
Yeah, so Greg Kading and I are doing a project particularly on the murders of Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G.
Do you think that has been done, like, too much now?
No.
What can you add different that hasn't already been done?
As James was saying before, this is going to be a speaking tour where people can actually get up there and have their questions. So Greg Kading's going to take you right through. He's going to talk about some stuff that he hasn't released before. He's going to talk about some stuff in the investigation that's, you know, that he hasn't spoke about, and he's going to bring that. When Greg and I were having a look at all these different ideas, we were like, you know what? We're going to get some brothers out there that can give some real-life stories from Death Row Records. He was tossing up different ideas, and I was like, boom, I got the guy. And that's when I thought Mob James, after seeing Vlad TV and that. So it goes for about 2.5 hours, the show. Greg's presentation is for 2 hours, but Greg's never done this presentation to a live audience. You know what I mean? So he's never done a live audience show. And then obviously at the last part of the show, it's a question and answer. You know what I mean? So we can talk to people. People in the crowd can ask James their questions about time on Death Row Records under Suge Knight, and obviously being in Las Vegas when Tupac was tragically murdered.
So how did you hook up with former LAPD officer Greg Kading?
Greg, I reached out to about 2010, and then I was doing some stuff around that around about probably 2011, 2012. Greg was going to do this in Europe around about 6 months ago. And then obviously he said, I know the person, because I know Death Row Records like the back of my hand.
Is that right?
Yeah. I know everything. Ask Reggie.
Can we do some trivia real quick?
No.
No. Yeah, okay. All right, so go ahead and tell everyone about the event. And
But yeah, special night, the Murders of Tupac and Biggie presentation, a night with Greg Cading, but special guests, former Death Row Records street security, Mob James McDonald.
James McDonald, actually.
James McDonald coming down to Australia. Get your tickets on austix.com. And look out for it. It's going to be a good show. Four cities, Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane in July, August this winter. Get ready.
Say the website again.
Austix.com.
Can you spell that?
OZTIX.com.au. $45, $2.50. Music component. Got a good DJ out there. Shout out to my brother DJ Malachi. We're only going to be playing Death Row Records, a little bit of Bad Boy, and we're taking people back. It's a musical component too, Alex, that night, you know what I mean? So it's really, really good. But just can't wait to get this brother down in Australia. It's going to be fantastic.
Man,
I can't wait to go. I'm going to eat me an alligator.
I wish I can go to Australia.
Crocodiles out there, Mom.
That's a place I definitely want to visit. But
we'd love to have you, Alex.
We're going to conclude this episode of the Gangster Chronicles. I want to thank everyone for downloading, listening, and for submitting your questions. And please go to the Instagram page at Gangster Chronicles. Go to the Facebook page, Gangster Chronicles, and make sure you check out my latest interview on Street TV. Good night, good afternoon, and good morning.
We out.
Peace.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.